tie things down, all you can do then is just be still. You ever get to the point where it doesn't matter what you're doing? Let's say you're driving. Have you ever lost control of your car? Have you ever hit black ice? Have you ever gone down a dirt road when it was muddy and going down a little too fast? Have you ever hit a spot of water and you just went for a ride? What could you do then? Nothing. Sometimes when things come, all we can do is be still. But then there are other times that life comes at us and we need to know a direction, what to do, where to go. So if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Peter. Anybody who's been vacation Bible school this week knows this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, if you're having a little trouble finding 2 Peter, it's okay to cheat. You can go to the concordance, go find it. Table of contents. But go all the way to the back of the book, hit Revelation, and back up a little bit. You'll find it. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. Verse 3 again. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. I received a call one day, back 2007. And the call was for a job that I had applied. I'd been waiting 6 months for this job. I just prayed and hoped that I would get the job. Even went so far as to either call it blind faith or just lunacy. I spent a bunch of money and worked on my vehicle and converted it to right-hand drive. Didn't have the job. I knew I needed a right-hand drive vehicle for this job. But, you know, I just knew in my soul I was going to get the job. So I waited 6 months. All that time I was practicing driving on the wrong side of the road. And then I get the call. Brian, would you come in for an interview? Certainly, I'll be there. When? They told me. I sat before the lady and she gave me the job. I knew. I waited for that call. You know, a lot of times, all of us here, we're going to get a call one day. Some of us are going to like the call, some are not. But all of us sitting on this pew, you will receive a call from the Lord. He's going to be calling out to you and He says, come to me. And so, at the end of verse 3, He says, He called us by His glory and virtue, His goodness, His power. And when you are called by Jesus to come serve Him, He doesn't just send you out and say, all right, good luck. Try to live it on your own. No, He has given you everything you need in order to live a godly and righteous life. Well, how does He do that? Well, He infills you with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, at the time that someone comes and puts their faith in Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, enters into your soul. And He fills it. And through that power that He has given you, you can live a godly life. Have you ever tried to be good? Oh, all of you are bad then, right? Have you ever tried to be good? It's not very easy sometimes. Have you ever tried to do something you've never, ever done before? We've all been there. I remember the first time I ever had to fix my car. It's there, it's broken. I picked up some tools, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'll never forget the time. How many of you knows how to drive a stick shift? Good. You know that's going, by the way, all right? It's just kind of hard to believe. So the first time, what is the biggest motivator of getting something done yourself? Lack of money. And so the clutch was going out in my little stick shift truck. So I pulled it into my mom's garage and I went and started taking the transmission off of that. I didn't know. I'd never done this before. I removed everything I had to, but there was two bolts in the most horrible place you can ever put them. And I could barely reach it. Are you guys laughing? You know what I'm talking about. You go, why in the world would they do that? It about took this Christian man to cursing to do it, all right? But I did it. I finally got those things out, and I put the transmission in, and I didn't put those two back on. Okay? It's all right. It still ran. But it was in there, okay? It was in there, and it ran. I finally did it. I did the job that I didn't think I could, but I did. When you start living for Jesus, that's where you're going to be. You're like, I've never lived like this before. What am I supposed to do? You mean I got to stop cursing? Yes, you're going to stop cursing. The Holy Spirit ain't going to let you keep doing that. You mean I've got to give up a few things? I don't see how I can do that. Oh, the Holy Spirit will help you do that. Yes, He will. You mean I've got to pray? Holy Spirit will help you pray. When I first started speaking to my wife, before she was my wife, when I first met her, I didn't know how to speak to a lady. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I knew how to speak. But how do you carry on a relationship? It was new. But I did. And as I kept on, that conversation got more and deeper. It's the same as when you start living for Jesus. That prayer life starts off, and at first you're like, hi. But after a while, the conversation is so deep. You mean God talks to you? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. But He talks to you in different ways. Now, He gives you power to live a Christian life. But even the more, there's other things. How do you know? How can I recognize the guidance of the Holy Spirit? How can I know it is the Holy Spirit speaking to me and not myself or something else? How do I know? I'm going to tell you, it was the Holy Spirit who spoke to me about when I would meet my wife. Many of you know the story, but briefly, a couple of years before I knew my wife, even met her, I prayed, Lord, the lady that I'm going to marry one day, I want you to provide her, bring her to me. I just want to know the one I marry is the one that you have created for me and I for her. And so I was praying, and one day I was working and I was washing dishes. They had dishes piled up everywhere. And the Spirit nudged me and said, why don't you ask Him now? Lord, when will I meet her? And a voice inside of me said, your second year of your second semester. Okay. Second year of my second semester in college. This lady comes pulling in a car that I have never seen this lady before. She wore a red dress. I love red. That was my wife. Never seen her before. Now, to tell you, funny thing was, she was riding along with a couple that was in prison ministry. So when she pulled up and got out of the car, I thought, oh, this is some prisoner's wife. But then I knew something was up when they said, hey, we want you to meet somebody. And I went, okay, this isn't a prisoner's wife. I met my wife. It was the Holy Spirit who told me to wait a little longer and see what God does when I was asking Him when I would become a pastor. And He said, wait and see. 2 years later, this church called me. It was the Spirit that when I heard and saw a vision that I was to live my life for Jesus and serve Him in ministry. It was. And it was in those gentle words that I heard and felt Him calling me to accept salvation one Wednesday night during a revival. You know, people say all the time, something told me. I remember when I was working in Pensacola and I was on a pharmaceutical / bank paperwork route. It was for a different company, and my route put me through the middle of Cervantes Street at about 5 in the morning. Not a good place to be. And I'm carrying a truckload of some really sought-after drugs. And so I backed up, and they had a new person working there, and he didn't know how to turn off the alarm. He thought he did. What alarm went off and went nuts, but I just continued working. I unloaded the truck, walked in down, put the pharmaceuticals down, came back. They had a big steel door there. And as I'm walking to the door, I normally just slung the door wide open and basically quickly walked outside. But as I approached that door, something told me, don't sling that door open like you normally do. Okay, so I opened it at half speed. And as I made my first step out, was a Pensacola police officer drawing his gun on me. I stopped, smiled, and said, I'm just the delivery man. And he put his gun away. I said, there's a new guy. He didn't know how to set the alarm. And he went in there and checked. You know, a lot of times you people will say, something told me. But what is that something? It's God. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God, will speak to you. And a lot of times we say, something told me. Well, it is not something. It's someone told you. But you know, we live life and things come and we got situations. Well, let me read something to you. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not seek his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You know, the Holy Spirit will not exalt himself. The Holy Spirit will not exalt you. But the Holy Spirit's action, its work is to tell you what is the truth and you to exalt him, Christ Jesus. And so it is the Spirit and his unction. You know what unction is? It's a word that I like. It is a deep emotion. It is something kind of like a prodding. It is that is within that kind of guides you, kind of pushes you, but gently, kind of steers you in a direction that you ought to go. It is that unction of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, 24, 26 says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit also takes on the role of a guide and counselor, leading us in the way that we should go and revealing God's truth to us. Now, with all of that, there's yet something else. How can God lead us? How do we know what is being taught, said to us, is the truth? Or it is the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. How can you live a righteous life? One, God puts his Holy Spirit in you. He gives you a bad taste for the things you used to like to do. All right? I remember after I came to faith in Jesus, I was just 15 years old, but what can a 15-year-old do? A lot. But there was one thing that I struggled with a lot, and it was my tongue. It was the words that I said, and that is the very first thing that God dealt with me on. Within 2 weeks, I did not cuss. Because any time I did, I felt massive conviction upon me. All right? You ever cuss at your mama? Why? Why? You will face the wrath of mama and daddy, most likely, right? You cuss when God is telling you not to, you're going to wish you never had a tongue. Your attitude is the next thing God would change. Right? I have Puerto Rican blood. Now, I hear that Italians have a temper. You haven't seen a Puerto Rican yet. Okay? And they got a temper. I love my mama. She's got a lot of Puerto Rican in her. And she'll admit to it. It's like a dynamite. You be careful. God had to take my attitude. And he had to completely change it. Change it, I mean. And it took a while. It doesn't always happen immediately. The things I like to watch and listen to, he had to completely change. The people I hung around with, he had to completely change. The things I once longed to do, I no longer wanted to do. Because he was changing me, but it was for the better. He's just making you boring. Oh no. You're around me. I'm not boring. If you serve Jesus, it's certainly not boring. You want to fight? You start serving Jesus. Because not only will you have people that you're going to have to fight with, not necessarily this way, but the devil himself is going to come after you. You want to fight, that's the way to get it. How do you know God's Spirit is speaking to you? One, you study the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, never tell you to do something that is against God's Word. Never. An example is, at a big church over in Pensacola, the pastor said one day, a while back, there's this man and woman. Now, he's a good man. He said, this man is an outstanding individual. He's a good man. If you can say, if anybody was a good man, this would be it. His wife, they've been coming there, and his wife came up to him one day and said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because the Holy Spirit is leading me into missions. Well, that's a good thing. But what does your husband say? Well, the Holy Spirit wants me to divorce my husband and go into missions. He looked at her and said, woman, you need to go back and be submissive to your husband because that ain't the Holy Spirit speaking to you. All right? God will never lead you to do something that is against his word. He would never want you to go into a place that is going to put you in a compromising position. Amen? Amen? God has plans for you to prosper you and to use you for the purpose that he made you for. But if you're too busy following your flesh, you're going to cause a lot of trouble for yourself. How many people have... I don't want to see hands. I'm not asking. Generally, how many people go to jail for stupid reasons? How many of you have been in trouble? How many times I've been in trouble for doing something dumb? A few years ago, Mother's Day, Brother Junior, I had got this four-wheel drive vehicle, right? It was nice. It had four-wheel drive. I wanted to try it out. And so I loaded the whole family up, and I went down the road, 87, and I turned into this one spot that said campground. But the thing was, I also had a sign that said federal property. No one allowed without a permit. Well, my buddy has taken me back there before. He didn't need a permit, so surely I'm not going to need a permit. I want to try the four-wheel drive. So I got back there about three-quarters of a mile. Four-wheel drive is doing great. And all of a sudden, this nice, pretty, out-of-place vehicle came flying out of the woods. It scared me. I turned around, and I hauled out of there. And I just kept going fast. I'm like, I shouldn't be going this fast, but this guy, I don't know who he is. And all of a sudden, I saw the blue lights kick on. And I went, uh-oh. I pulled over. He came up to me, and granted, he was a very nice man. He said, what are you doing back here? I said, I saw a sign that said campground, and we just got this vehicle. It has four-wheel drive, and I just wanted to look at the campground. He looked at everybody in there, and I think he knew it was Mother's Day. My wife looks a little terrified. He said, I'll be right back. And he came forward and said, I'm just going to warn you. He said, next time you come back here, you better have a permit. And then he said one other thing. That campground back there, yeah, it needs four-wheel drive. But he said, don't pick up anything on the ground. And he said, because there's unexploded ordnances out here. I went, I won't be coming back here. Folks, sometimes we put ourselves in stupid situations because we don't listen to the Spirit of God speaking to us. Sometimes we say things to our loved ones that we ought not to say because we get angry and it just boils up within us. And when you feel that boiling up in that tongue, it's just wanting to come out. You better stop and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying, stop, my child, stop. Don't let it come out. Say, well, I can't keep it within. Say, Jesus, I need you to hold my tongue down. And a lot of times we get upset and we want to do things and we want to do our will. And the Holy Spirit says, hold on, my child, don't do this. Instead, let me handle it. And there have been times I've come to church and I can just feel that there's a spirit of oppression or something going on. All right? The Holy Spirit will also let you feel some things. You know that there is something about to go down here that is not holy. And I say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what, but Lord, I pray that you'll take care of it. A lot of times when you've been done wrong, the Holy Spirit is saying, hold on. Don't you dare do a thing. Let me do it. I'll tell you what, when God gets a hold of a person, it is beautiful and it's ugly too. I was working in a different job early in my marriage, and a new boss came in. And so it was just two of us working there. And so he introduced himself to us, and he wanted us to introduce ourselves to him. And so I guess I spoke first, and I said hello, and you know, how long I've been there and stuff, and glad to have you on. And then who I thought was my friend said, yeah, here's Brian, I'm so-and-so. Brian doesn't do a real good job around here. If you ever need anything, just let me know. Hello? I held my tongue. I said, God, I give this over to you. In a month, I felt pity on my coworker. My boss saw right through it and gave him the worst details he could possibly give him. I felt bad for him. I really did. And I even prayed, Lord, have mercy on his soul. Okay? Have mercy on him. You know, a lot of times we face a mountain. And we're like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to tell you what you don't do. You don't do what your flesh wants you to do. The Holy Spirit comforts us when we're in trouble and we're saddened. The Holy Spirit teaches us when we need to learn. The Holy Spirit remains in us as a seal of promise upon our hearts unto the day of Jesus' return. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't lose your salvation. I don't care who says what. Yeah, I know people disagree with me on that. But when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you may walk away from him, but you're never going to like it. You will come back. But even if you don't, if you keep living in sin, there's a choice. You either were or you were never. Now, there's a lot of people who get real close to the fire and they're warm. But are they in the fire? No. There are a lot of people who put on jerseys saying, oh, look, this is my team, but does that mean they're a football player? No. A lot of people put on Christianity, but doesn't mean they are a Christian. A lot of pastors preach the gospel, don't mean they're really a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in you and he dwells in you and seals you. The Holy Spirit also takes on the role of a guide and counselor, leading us in the way we should go and revealing God's truth to us. So how do we again discern between our thoughts and the Holy Spirit? Well, it's simple. Study his word. Listen to it. Read the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the more you have a desire, and then you start to realize, wow, I read that a few nights ago and it came true right now. Now I know what to do. He guides us through our own conscience in other quiet and subtle ways. My mama has always said that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forces you to do something, but yet he guides you. He leads you in that direction. But don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. When you quench the Holy Spirit, it's like you're hurting Jesus himself. Jesus wants you to say, my child, live for me. And you go, no. Those of us who have children, when our children tell us something no that we want them to do, it hurts, don't it? Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. He spilled his blood in order that you can have freedom. No greater love has anybody had other than for one to lay down his life for a friend. You may say to yourself, well, I'm not a friend of Jesus. I've done a lot of bad things. But he calls you his friend. And he laid down his life for you. All you have to do is accept him as your Savior. And if you do, he will step out of heaven and step into your heart with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There'll be times when you're laying down in your bed and you'll be nudged awake by him, just so that you can read his word and he'll tell you something. There'll be desires of your heart that you don't know where to go to or what to do, and you're praying. And then and when you think there's no answer, all of a sudden, he'll speak to you in your heart or in a vision. Yes, he still works in visions. He will speak to you. You're like, this morning, I've never heard him speak to me. But you're here today and you feel God's spirit upon you. You feel him tugging at your heart. You feel some kind of like a weight upon you, but yet it's not the same horrible weight that's always been upon you, but it's like someone's pulling for your heart. And that's him speaking to you. Today, would you surrender to him and say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Listen to him. And I promise you, if you dedicate yourself to serving him, your life will be on a totally brand new adventure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us today. Continue speaking to us. Lord, if we haven't heard you for a while, bust into our scene, Lord, and reveal yourself yet again. God, I pray, Jesus, that we'll continually seek to serve you, to seek to know who you are and what you want us to do and where you want us to go, even when things seem hopeless. Lord, I pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.